our thoughts are, life supporting or are in harmony with evolution, what that means and what that doesn't mean.
It means that we produce healthy effects by the criterion of cosmic consciousness. I think you know the criterion of cosmic consciousness. Hmm? That witness of sleep. There we hold the criterion of CCN. Witness. If one is awake in the nights, and it should be a sort of constant feature of every night, and then one is in CC. There one can't be deluded. That is something which is very, very decisive. In the waking one may have some, whether one is feeling the witness or not, or separate from activity, there could be some kind of unclear. But in sleep, it makes a very decisive kind of experience. So if that is happening night after night, and as a result of that, one is also experiencing some kind of non-attachment with one's own actions first, and then with one's own thinking later, with one's own style of thinking. Thought is one thing, you are a witness to thought, but then when it becomes more and more saturated, then even the mechanics of thinking, you are a witness to mechanics of thinking, final. And then you are unbounded, universal. This kind of sharper and more decisive experiences, witness of the mechanics of thinking, mechanics of deciding inside. They are very subtle, sharp kind of thing. You had an experience yesterday, one of the experiences yesterday? Whether I am a student or I am a teacher, that fine experience, fine. It's just the clear appreciation of that, whether the thought is coming from outside or it's emerging from me. A very delicate perception. Such clear, very refined, spontaneous observations indicate growth of purer consciousness. I'm using the word indicate, indicate. Such fine, spontaneous, clear perceptions. We are happy with such experiences.
My understanding of cosmic consciousness is that it involves this absolute consciousness along with the relative as a constant experience, but that one's knowledge or one's judgment about the relative might not be any better than before what one was in cosmic consciousness.
Trying to argue that because now I am in CC and I want to give you my CC, so we should be together. That kind of suggestion or thinking is horrible. This we should guard against. That is the reason why, certainly in public we never talk about it. In the meetings of meditators, we avoid talking about it. We always avoid talking about it. If someone says, And you say, we'll analyze it, whether we analyze these experiences privately. Because they can completely confuse a man. Some man who may be knowing that meditator, he may say, oh, if this is CC, I'm not going to meditate. We have to be very careful on what we say in public life. Because now we have a world plan. We want everyone to meditate. It should never be that some remarks go out from us which in society people may be afraid of. This talk of CC, GC, we must have. Here we can talk because here we are all on the same boat. We speak loudly on the mic all about the CC and GC. But this we never do in our localities. In meetings, in these residence courses, we never discuss CCs and GCs. We just avoid expressing the symptoms of CC or the symptoms of GC. Because that which really decides the level of consciousness is the state of experience, which is one's own inner value. Nothing outside can decide. One's own experience, refinement of the mechanism of experience. That only is the decisive thing. And therefore, in the meetings of meditators, in the meeting of initiators, we can talk, but with all this caution. Just as we started to talk, and I'm spending so much time on the point that we should not talk. Just this we repeat in our groups of initiators. And one more thing in this regard is that now we are so few initiators, maybe so many we can say, that so many are rising so rapidly, and it's such a joy to the movement. This is our wealth. This is our achievement. This year of achievement is on the level of more and more world plan centers outside, but that is the gross expression of this growing wealth of pure consciousness in which initiators and meditators are developing. This is our real wealth. It is this which is going to implement the world plan. It is this which is going to hand over this beautiful knowledge to the coming generations, this experience. And when we come here in the ATR, we are all together, we analyze these experiences very thoroughly, understand them. But when we are in public, it's like a jeweler. He may have a diamond. It's a beautiful diamond. But he is happy to open it in the meeting of other jewelers. And then everyone says, ah, you have it. He doesn't open his box of jewelry in front of those who just don't understand what is imitation and what is pure. Always. So we have a very great responsibility. We have a very, very great responsibility, and very gently, very smoothly, very gracefully, we are going to fulfill that responsibility of world plan. Our focus these days is only one: implementation of the world plan, because we have verified the effectiveness and the usefulness of this procedure in our own life, in the life of our friends, through such beautiful experiences. Then we know that this is the knowledge which is so true, so natural, so effective, and now this we must give out to all the world. So having verified its usefulness in ourselves, in our friends, now we are out for the world. This is our focus. And therefore, in such cases of talking about the symptoms of consciousness, we are very generous within ourselves, highly appreciative of those who saw some sign, but are very, very conservative in giving our opinion. Very, very.
Maharishi, I have two questions about the structure of the teaching in the field. First one has to do with the amount of rounding allowed on residence courses, because you very clearly spoke of it over the phone, I think, to us in Humboldt last summer. And then during a residence course that I was teaching on, my regional coordinator came and said that he had spoken to you and you had allowed one extra round for those who had been on courses before. Now, you had made a very clear statement about how many days residence courses could be and how much rounding each time, and I'd appreciate it if you do that once again, because there seems to be a lack of agreement among the initiates.
Now, what you have heard, let me see what I said sometime in the past.
Last summer, you said two rounds morning, two rounds afternoon, and that's it, on a full day of the residence course. And then at the end of the Thanksgiving residence course on the East Coast, which was 3 or 4 days long, I had been allowing two and two for both the beginners and the advanced group. And then Charlie said, oh no, I spoke to Maharishi, and he said, it's all right for them to do two and three for the people who'd been on courses before on the full days during the course.
How many days they stay in the residence?
The usual courses are Friday evening, starting with an evening lecture and ending, then goes all through Saturday and ending Sunday after lunch, so their last rounding is in the morning.
That's a weekend.
That's a weekend. The longer courses are sometimes 4 days, starting on a Wednesday night, ending Sunday, or starting on a Thursday, ending Monday, something like that. They vary according to the holiday.
What is the general experience with these 2 days, 2 days? They go home foggy or clear?
With the two and two, my experience was that it was an amazing improvement of how much clearer they went home than when they had been doing five and six and seven in some cases in the old days. And two and two seemed to be fine. Then when we heard that it was okay for those who'd been on courses before to do three and two, 1 or 2 days of the course when they were there for the full day, then those people seemed to be all right too. There weren't any complaints after the courses. There wasn't much extra checking needed during the courses. So I think the maximum of three and two seemed to be fine for those who'd already had experience of rounding. But no more than that.
I think what we should do is, instead of telling them three and two, three is too much for just 2 days, there should be time to come down.
On a longer course? You also said during the summer that
longer courses we should avoid. We should not hold longer courses, we should not. How many long courses you have been holding?
They hold over Christmas and over Easter. Does anyone remember how long? And Thanksgiving. Well, Thanksgiving is about 4 days. Christmas is often 5 or 6 days, sometimes 7. And I know you had said during the summer not to do that, so that's why I was confused.
And still they were done?
Yeah, this winter on the East Coast and probably in other, yeah, Midwest, West.
Who was responsible for it?
The regional coordinators, I guess.
Tell him not to do it, that's all.
What's the maximum amount of days at any time?
The thing is, we want to succeed. 7 days rounding, and if you give them long rounding, and people go home foggy, that's the gulf that we'll be creating for ourselves. We'll not be able to cross behind that gulf in society.
The four-day courses seem to be fine, and someone just commented that...
And in the 4 days, what we should do is, instead of allowing three in the morning, we can at best have about 15 minutes of group meditation before lunch. That seemed to be maximum that we should allow. See, you know that expression, walking through the sleeping herds of elephants. Very carefully we are going like that, like that, like that, like that. The society is so much stressed. And if some people go home and people think that he comes foggy and he's not clear and he's not able to behave properly at home and all this, that's the end of all these residence courses. These weekend courses, the primary aim is to give him rest. Give him rest more than he would have a chance to take at home if he remains at home. More restful. Prepare him more to be dynamic in the coming next week in his office, in his work. More cordial at home. So it's the rest that we see. People come tired, and now Monday they want to go home fresher. The sole purpose of weekend courses is to give them a taste of deeper rest in the residence course. That physically. For that, one thing very, very important is we tell them to just rest, sleep, don't worry to get up in the morning till the waking state of consciousness forces them out of bed. Long time sleep. Don't mind the time, that's all. Don't mind time, don't mind rounding, and don't mind meditation, don't mind meeting, don't mind food, nothing, just sleep. And once you have put him to this completely restful state of mind, let him sleep 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, whatever, 9 o'clock, whatever. Doesn't matter, 12 o'clock, whatever. Whatever. Just when he comes to residence court, we close early in the night. Don't go more than about 10, 10:30. Just close, finished. And then let him get up when he gets up in the morning. These 2 mornings, completely rested without any program of the coming morning, this itself will give him such deep rest. And with this, we say, now, you'll meditate. And over and above this, some inspiring lectures to hear. Some analysis of this restfulness. But the main thing is this rest. This will refresh him physically, and the tapes will give him a new air of fresh intellectual understanding for some higher values. And with this, he'll go psychologically refreshed and physically refreshed.
Now, it's been standard that on the first morning of the course, we say sleep as late as you feel to. But then I had a question about that this year, and I asked Jerry, if the person is sleeping till, let's say, 11 a.m., which is when the first meeting is scheduled, and they have a roommate, should the roommate wake them and have them come to the meeting? And he said, yes. And I said, and this is without meditation? And he said, yes, because they can fit that first meditation in between the 11 a.m. meeting and lunch, which is usually over a period of more than an hour, and they have a chance to get it. He says, the main thing is to rest as much as possible, but then to come to the meeting because we discuss the mechanics of stress release and the mechanics of rounding now that they've had a taste of it at that very first meeting in the first morning of the residence course. So if they sleep past 11 and no one wakes them because you say they shouldn't have to rush to the meeting, how would you suggest we restructure that?
After we would give preference to meditation after deep rest. And if we have the tapes, then we play for them specially sometime in the afternoon, after lunch.
Now,
this is to give them maximum from their stay, maximum. We accommodate in our programming. We accommodate in our programming, but the main focus is that our programming should be in favor of his deep rest. So we can play a tape maybe second time in the afternoon. First time it has been done for those who woke up early, but for those they have a chance after lunch. This will send the people very much refreshed. The main focus is rest and then do meditations. He feels very good. And then some fresh wave of understanding. There will be more tapes now. I'll be making more and more tapes for these residence courses. Series of courses. Recently some courses are being structured for different areas. A spiritual development course